So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, a perfume podcast. I'm your co-host, Sable Young.
And I'm your other co-host, Tynan.
Today's episode is a primer on perfume, because we're basically a podcast about scents. We figured we can teach you a little something about fragrance and ourselves, as we have learned much in our research / careers.
Yeah, there are so many words flying around fragrance literature, and even as people who interact with it and read it and write it, a lot of the time we often look at these things like, what the hell does this mean? And I'm Googling a lot when I'm writing.
Same.
And I consider myself someone pretty well read with fragrance. As we've said before, fragrances are hard to approach and they can be intimidating. And a lot of this is because of the way that they're talked about, because it's a very elevated vocabulary that no one teaches you. So that's why we're here. We're going to learn along with you. There was a lot of things that even just now when we connected before we started recording, we were like, how do you say that and what does it mean? You know what I mean?
So there's so much technicality behind the creation of fragrance. And then basically it's strange because like it's not like you're making a computer and you can say like this has this much processing speed and blah, blah, blah. That's not how fragrance works. They have all these technical things from the extractions to the processes to the distillation. And then they're like, now let's call it Moondream and sell that.
Right. Well, yeah. And to that point, it's like, it's also sort of who you talk to about a lot of this. It's like, what family does this note fall into? Is it this or is it that? Or what does this actually mean? Which is a lot like, you know, skincare. it's just like, what version are you reading? You know?
Yes. So hopefully after this episode, you will feel confident enough in fragrance know-how to just whip that out at a party and be like, by the way, did you know that?
I guess what I mean to say is like, we already pretty much know our shit and we did a lot of research. You know, we may not be right about all this, but we're definitely not wrong. And I feel comfortable with that.
I can confidently say we are not right and not wrong at the same time.
Sable, what are you wearing today?
Ooh, I am wearing Alexander McQueen Dark Papyrus, which makes me laugh because
Dark Papyrus.
Yes.
I love that.
The name is so funny to me because it's such a fancy perfume, but then all I think about is like the papyrus font. But it just seems silly to me, but I mean, the scent itself, it's described as a spicy, woody scent, and conceptually behind it, it's supposed to be about like the Nile River, like the banks of the Nile River in Egypt, and the smell of the night wind. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I think woody spicy like kind of sums it up better. But it is like, I'm like smelling myself right now.
Ooh.
Like, it's, yes, woody spicy, but I totally get what they mean when they say like this kind of close to the river breeze, because it has this sort of dreamy, I don't know, like almost like a fresh airy quality to it while still being earthy and like very grounded. I have never been to Egypt, so I don't know what the Nile River smells like. And I'm sure this was just, you know, a gratuitous interpretation of that, but yeah, it was part of his collection. He launched, I think, 8 fragrances in 2018 that were all similarly conceptual in their own way. But this one was my favorite because it was so, again, amorphous and has this like dreamy quality that's almost as if it's from another time and place.
Oh, I love that. Mm. It reminded me of, I don't know, like a store. I know that's like not very descriptive.
No, no, no.
But, like,
I totally
not
see
like a
that.
Head shop, but I don't know.
A fancy store.
A fancy old store, yeah. With like a ton of wood.
Yep. Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like?
I don't know if we've talked about this before. You and I have talked about this quite a bit. I don't know if we talked about it on this iconic show, but I'm wearing Lil Fleur by Byredo.
The newest Byredo.
Yes.
Hot off the spritzes.
Love to see it. No, Lil Fleur is a floral, as the name would.
It's a big floral.
It's a big floral. Fleur. I don't like florals. I mean, as I've said over and over, but this is not a floral to me. It's more of, it's more like dry grass and yellow flowers. It is floral. It's
very
just not
nectary,
like,
yeah. To me, it's juicy.
I think it's tangier on you than it is me.
Maybe,
because
probably.
You described it as sort of like citronella-y,
yeah,
right?
Yes. Like right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I was like, is there citronella in this?
Yeah.
Because it had like a tang to it. But then once it dried down, then I was like, oh, there's those flowers. Mm-hmm. Like they came after. They're fashionably late.
I get like honeysuckle and hay out of it.
Yes, honeysuckle for sure.
It's just like, it's very yellow to me. Mm-hmm. And
it's a happy scent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bright.
Yeah. It smells like an afternoon in the Midwest to a kid that has like never seen the ocean.
Whoa.
It's
poor
like,
kid.
It's like summery, but not beachy. It's not like an aspirational summer. It's just like, this is
springy,
what I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it's a really interesting scent. And mm-hmm. I think it's a departure from sort of what they usually do in a way that's exciting to me. It's not my favorite Byredo, but I've been wearing it quite a bit this summer. So I don't know. I love it.
It's got attitude for sure. It's bratty. It's like a bratty teen girl scent.
You think?
I think so. But in a cool way. Like, I don't mean bratty like insolent. I mean bratty like, you know, anti-establishment.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. I'm with that. To me, it's like a forlorn teenage boy scent.
Ooh.
Just like, I wish I had plans tonight. I don't know. It smells like the interior of like a hot Honda Civic with leather seats. Ooh. I don't know. But like in a good way. It's funny. These notes don't help me, but I think they sort of do help me contextualize it in a way. There's a big rose note in the middle, and then at the base is amber and blonde woods and vanilla. And I think that like blonde wood is the one that like really jumps up through it.
That one, yeah, that's the last note singing when it dries down.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's so much more sharp to me.
I like that. It just reminds me of like the afternoon.
Mm. I do wonder how they came up with a Lil Fleur for the name.
I would love to know. Their names are kind of fun.
They are fun, but this one to me is like a departure.
It's like a rap name.
It's a rap name.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's cool. Yeah, I would love to know it.
So, I feel like the first things that you know about fragrance are kind of these big blanket statements of this is a floral fragrance or this is a woody fragrance. But meanwhile, within it, there's like a whole universe of scents that create this one kind of floral or woody theme. And then there's all the other stuff that goes into like the wear of the perfume.
All of the things that bolster up that one.
Yep.
If it's floral or wood, that aren't those things at all, but that get you there, you know?
How do you apply your perfume, Tynan?
Oh.
I feel like people have very different methods.
So we all are told that you do it on your pulse points because that's where your body is the hottest, I guess. So I just do what my mom told me, and I do my neck, chest, décolletage area. Mm-hmm. Do boys have décolletages?
Sure.
Okay.
Your bust.
Yeah. And then I do one there, and then one spray on my wrists, and then I tap them together. You never rub, you tap.
Mm.
Because rubbing burns the oils and can affect the scent.
It
of
breaks
your
down
scent.
The alcohol
yeah.
molecules
oh.
or something, right?
I thought it was one of the perfume oil things, but I could be wrong.
Somebody explained it to me that you're not even supposed to touch them together.
Oh.
You're not supposed to like squish it, basically. I mean, it sounds crazy to me. It's like, it breaks the molecules and they're never the same.
Yeah.
Or like it doesn't release the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
Which could be true because you are literally smearing it into your skin.
Right.
But I think that to me, I feel like it enmeshes it into your skin even more.
Sometimes I like to warm my skin up before I spray it. Like, I'll rub my wrists together and then I'm embarrassed with it. But
yeah.
And also, when I do it, I like to do it shirtless. And then I don't like to throw a shirt on immediately over it because I feel like, I mean, it does soak into your clothes, which is fine. But I like to sort of let it sink in and cook to my skin for like 5 minutes if I can, and then get dressed, which does not always work. But I just feel like if I hop out of the shower, spray it on, throw a shirt on, and then go about my business, I just feel like I'm like soaked in it. And I know that's all in my head.
I think you might be right.
Oh.
Because it's like, well, it's cooking on your skin and it's insulated by your clothes.
Right. Exactly. So, like, that's what
move,
I mean.
Yeah.
That's what
so
I mean.
When you move, you're probably like further fuming out.
Yeah. But you spray on your clothes, right? And instead of your skin. Okay.
Yeah. I do both. I apply perfume as like the last step of my before I leave the house kind of thing. So I do it fully clothed. If I'm wearing something with like a high neck, I'll like pull it down to spritz it onto the neck and décolletage. Sometimes I do back of the neck as well. Mm. I'll like hold my hair up, do back of the neck. So, you know, when you flip your hair, it can be like, whoosh, there's a scent cloud.
My God. Wait, pause. There's this girl I work with and I gave her a bunch of perfume samples that I had because she was going out one night. She does the same thing. She pulls her hair to the side and sprays on the back of her neck. And like, I am gay as the day is long, but I like caught her do that out of the corner of my eye. And it was like the sexiest thing I have ever seen in my life. Oh my, I was
the
like, oh my God.
The nape of your neck is very warm.
I was like, oh my God, women. Yeah. Like, mind blown.
You have to grow a mane, Tynan, and then you can do that.
I'll just get a wig.
That also works, yeah. But I feel like that's like such a hot point on your body.
Yeah.
And because hair is like a fan, so you can just use that, you know, use everything you've got, man.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I do there, and my wrists, I feel like the wrists always fade the quickest, so I do like wrists and inner elbow. Unless I'm wearing something with long sleeves. Oh, and I also do under my armpits. Over my clothes.
God,
like
here we
not
go again.
On my skin. But I don't, maybe that's just like a takeaway from middle school when I'd use like body spray.
Yeah.
But again, your armpits are some of the warmest parts of your body. And then when you're like gesturing with your hands, you can also fumigate.
I like cannot go down this road again.
Yeah, let's not get on a tangent about,
please,
about armpits again. But yeah. And then that's the scent that kind of stays on my clothes. And I really like the way my clothes smell the day after.
Same.
And you can smell the perfume you wore the day before. I love that. Because it's different. Because it doesn't dry down the same way it does in skin. Because obviously it's a different material. But it still has that veil.
I love. Yes. Agree. Yeah. I was yanking my shirt off yesterday. I was wearing some Killian scent. And I was like, oh, that's how I smell.
Killian stays. Like,
but it's,
I smell it all day.
To me, it stays close to you, though. I like a fragrance that stays all day, but it's not going to like enter a room before you.
Every time I wear a Killian fragrance, I smell it all day on myself.
Yeah.
So I'm usually very, not stingy, but I spritz less with Killian just because I know it's going to carry. And what do we call when a scent carries?
I'm going to let you say it because you pronounce it correctly. I'm so happy I'm doing this podcast because I have learned that I don't know how to say shit.
Everything is French in fragrance.
I never took French and I cheated my way through Spanish. So I'm glad I have someone here who knows what they're talking about.
I took 4 years of French in high school, but that was literally almost 20 years ago. So
that doesn't sit well with me. We're the same age. That. Although I never like want to be in, like, I'm not one of those people who like misses high school. You cannot pay me enough. I never want to be a student again.
Burn my ear.
I didn't want to be a student when I was a student.
Same.
Ugh.
I don't think I learned anything in high school.
No. Well, I also never paid attention, so that could be part of it. But
I learned how to mind my own business in high school.
I did not learn how to mind my own business. You can also tell that.
Anyway. The term sillage, spelled S-I-L-L-A-G-E.
Fully thought it was sillage, but work.
I had called it sillage for a very long time. Same. Because it's not even like, visually, to me, it doesn't look like a French word. So I was like, oh yeah, sillage.
Yeah.
Anyway, same. JK, it's French, sillage.
One time I pronounced Laura Mercier, Laura Mercer, I wanted to jump out of the window. Anyways, go on.
I can see that.
It haunts me to this day, clearly.
Mercier, Mercer. Like, there are worse things you could have done with that name.
That's true. Glossier.
Glossier. Sillage is the trail of scent left behind by a perfume. So that's when you walk past someone and they're like, oh, her scent was so alluring. That's some sillage, bitch.
I was on my way here today and I passed this dude from like not close and I distinctly smelled what he was wearing, and I was like, bro, number one, we're outside. Number two, I'm at least 5 feet away from you, and like I could like taste it.
But, so he had a pretty lengthy sillage.
Yeah. So, I mean, circling back, when I wear Killian, I feel like the sillage is not that drastic, but it does stay all day really nicely. It's a really consistent wear.
I don't think I've smelled Killian on somebody else, so I can't say how that works. Like, I've only smelled it on myself, and you can't move your nose away from yourself.
I was going to wear Killian today, and I forgot. I got distracted. Next time.
I think Heaven in Moonlight, or Moonlight Heaven, is one of my favorite Killian scents.
I haven't smelled that one.
It's good. I'll show it to you later. That and Good Girl Gone Bad.
Yes.
Which, no, that's not the Rihanna one.
No, Rihanna is a Rihanna album.
Yes. Oh, that's why I thought that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, allegedly, Rihanna wears Killian.
Yeah, they just sent it this week. It is Love, Don't Be Shy.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. It's a very me fragrance. It's just like a big sugar bomb.
Yes. That one... I like Good Girl Gone Bad because the dry down is similar to the open. So the dry down is basically what the scent smells like once it's had time to cook on your skin and it reaches the base notes. The base notes being the heaviest ones that really, it's like the platform, the carrier for the whole thing.
Because of the way scents are built, we're going to go through this in a minute, or maybe now, with a top note, middle note, and base note. Some of them typically evolve on your skin, so they'll smell one way when you spray it, and then another way throughout, and then at the dry down, that's what it sort of, well, dries down to, and it's how it smells. And they're all similar, but it does evolve. Not all scents do. Some are linear, meaning they're going to smell the same when you spray them on as you do when you wash them off. And I don't really have a preference.
It's like a gift that keeps giving. It's like a Russian nesting doll.
Yeah.
Where you're really excited to see what the tiniest doll looks like.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. The open, obviously, it's like when you first spritz something. Oftentimes, you will probably hear people talk about applying fragrance, like, it opens with notes of blah, 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 blah. And those notes would be the top notes. So that's like, that is the stuff that you smell right away.
That instantly draw you in.
Yes.
And they're usually the brightest, typically the sweetest. And I think, honestly, a lot of the times that's what sells the fragrance.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's the first impression.
Exactly. You're in the department store, you spray on your skin or the little test strips, whatever. Yep. And that's it. They're super usually juicy red. And that's what gets you. That's what gets me, because I love a sweet note.
I will make judgments based on the top notes, but then what really, you know, makes me loyal to a scent is the base notes for sure. Because, like, I love that warmth when it kind of just fades down. It's on your skin. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it smells like.
Well, and the structure of fragrances is oftentimes very similar, correct? Because, as we said, the tops are usually a citrus or a fruit, and then the middle notes tend to be very floral heavy or like earthy notes, things with more texture. And then you get to the base notes and they're almost always what? Patchouli, musk, vanilla, vetiver. Yeah.
And like heart notes and middle notes, they're kind of synonymous, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So like sometimes people call them middle notes, sometimes people call them heart notes.
But... I like heart notes because it's romantic.
Top notes also fade out the quickest.
Yes.
So that's why they're usually the brightest.
It's so funny because, like, yes, in theory, this is all true. But sometimes to me, all I smell is the top notes just throughout
wear. Well, it contributes to
totally
the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, a collection of notes is called an accord, which I always think of it like as a musical comparison. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you play a bunch of notes together, it's a chord. But when you read in perfume, like... it has a floral accord that doesn't mean anything to my nose, but it means like, okay, there's jasmine, there's rose, there's violet in here.
Right. And also often accords will, we may have talked about this, accords will be a collection of notes made to emulate a scent of something that you can't extract anything from.
Yes.
So leather, you can't get an oil out of a leather, or
cashmere. Cashmere doesn't have a scent.
So often there'll be, you know, a musk note, or maybe a pepper note, or, you know, different sort of oils that your nose will then interpret as leather or whatever you needed to.
Yeah. So it's like singular things, composites of things, and then the whole shebang.
Right. Exactly. Fragrances are made up of multiple notes, but also those notes could be
groups of notes.
Groups of notes. Exactly. The drama.
See, it's very dramatic. And then there's like, I don't know, what do you call them? Like families of scent?
We're going to go with families.
Let's go with families. Like the fragrance families. Not like the Hogwarts houses.
Oh, God. But kind of, low-key.
Kind of, low-key. But there's just too many Venn diagrams. Like, when we were looking this up, you know, when you think of the obvious ones, like, florals, fruits, woods. And then there's like, but wait, there's fruity florals. There's fruity wood. And you're like, wait, what?
Totally, yeah. I feel like it's, again, it's who you ask. Because yeah. I found a really strong infographic that made the most sense to me and that I had seen before. But then Sable made a really good point. She was like, where are the musks? And it's like, well, true, because that's sort of its own
yep.
house. And Musk this house. Is not on there. And didn't we say leather too? I don't know.
Totally. Like, I don't know if there's an absolute authority on what certain things like leather accords go into, for instance. Like, you could say it's oriental. You could say it's woody. Mm-hmm. You could say it's musky.
Exactly.
I want to say musk just because leather is from an animal and musk is animal stuff. I've always read that musk was the quote-unquote skin scent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Which makes sense, again, because it comes from animal glands.
Have we said what musk is yet? Let's do that.
Okay, so musk comes from animal glands. It's an animalic note. These days, most musk notes are synthetic because it's just not sustainable to be killing all these deers for their scent pods. Also, you have to kill a lot of deer to get like 1 kilo of musk. So yeah. Not cool, not animal friendly. We don't like it. Also unnecessary. But when you think of really popular original musk scents, ambergris is one of the most popular ones. Ambergris or ambergris? Ambergris. I'm saying it the French way. Ambergris. And that comes from the stomach and intestines of sperm whales. It's basically, they just like burp that shit up.
I love that we can say sperm on our podcast.
It's basically a whale burp. They vomit it out. Or do they poop it out? I don't know.
I think they vomit it.
Yeah, which is grosser. I don't know. Take your pick. But yeah, it kind of oxidizes with the ocean under the sun and is super, super valuable.
Wait, sorry. Am I getting this right? So musk is from a deer or an animal, whatever. And then ambergris is from a whale. But
yeah.
It, doesn't ambergris emulate amber?
It emulates a lot of things.
Okay.
Amber being one of them.
I guess is ambergris a musk?
Yes.
Oh.
Because it's like animal stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
Substance. Other times, it's usually musk would come from a civet, which is like a little baby wildcat. Their scent glands, or it'd come from the scent gland of a beaver or a musk deer. I didn't realize that they were musk deers as opposed to regular deers, but apparently they are. And this is where the ye old perfumers would get their scents from. And basically, they would take these glands, juice them somehow, soak them in ethanol alcohol for like months and months and months until it released a perfumey scent. And that's what the musk was, because in its original form, it smells like shit, like literal like shit.
Yeah.
Which is why it's even more perplexing as to why they thought this would be good for perfume.
Yeah. Who was like, I have an idea. Let's take this, soak it, and then spray it on ourselves.
Weird.
Disgusting.
Who thought of that?
Pigs.
Name yourself. Reveal yourself.
I always thought that musk was like fog and dense and dewy and almost moldy, like a really earthy, which I suppose it is. But I thought musk, we know, comes from an animal. Mm-hmm. It's an animal secretion. Disgusting. But I thought it was from the earth.
I don't know who decided to take this stuff and turn it into fragrance, but it's one of the things that basically carries a scent for longevity. That's why a lot of musks are base notes, because they're essentially, they're like carriers. They can carry a lot of the other notes.
Okay, that's helpful though, because I originally, before I read all that, thought musk was just like animal sweat or something. So this is a little bit more specific, but yes, I'm glad.
Secretions.
I'm glad that we have a way that we can synthesize this scent instead of, you know, killing animals.
Yeah. Also, it's like way less gross.
Sidebar, we should do an episode on how synthetic fragrances are not bad.
Who said they're bad?
A lot of people think like synthetics and fragrances are bad. Yeah, people are fucking morons. Well, guys. it's the clean beauty hoax. Oh, don't get, I'm God. Not gonna do it, but
do you want to kill a musk deer and smear its glands all over you?
Exactly. Well, that and just like natural scents that are quote made all natural or whatever, they have a much shorter shelf life too, and you can get they're much less imaginative.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not gonna go down this road. We should just do an episode about
synthetics.
It
synthetics are fine.
Synthetics are great.
Fragrance.
Yes.
Oriental fragrances, I'm still like, I know why it's called Oriental.
Yeah, is that okay to say?
Is it?
I always feel weird about it.
So do I. Ugh. I'm like, why haven't we changed this
yet?
I know.
I don't feel it. I was going to ask.
Yeah, they're like, Is it because it's from the quote unquote Orient? Like, which P.S. like, it's not cool to call it that anymore.
Yeah. So yes, that is why, because Oriental fragrances date back to the genesis of fragrance itself. Like everything that was like all these spices and shit that were traded.
Yep.
That smelled so good trade. And people wanted to smell like that, and rightfully so. So that's where the name comes from, but it doesn't sit right with me. And I don't want to get canceled because of it.
We didn't make the name.
Yes.
It's now its own technical term. Like, Oriental. I feel weird, but like...
We should figure that out. Yeah. And we should change it.
I like thinking about it more that way, how it's like from the spice trade.
Yeah, because I mean, that is literally what it's referencing. So, yes. It doesn't make it okay, but like, I just think it's like very dated, but like, that's what it's been ingrained into all of us as, so, you know.
Yeah. What else would they call it?
If spice? Anyone can change it, we can. Yes, spice. Like, if one of the house names is simple. Wood, yeah. We can change it to spice. Like,
yeah. Petition to change Oriental to spice. Please, we'll send it to Big Perfume and see what they say. Anyway, Oriental fragrances. Tell me about them.
Well, I love Oriental fragrances. They are one of my favorites.
Same.
They are characterized by spices, obviously. You've also got like incense and also musks, as we talked about, because didn't you just say very eloquently that musks also can sort of take on
yes.
the scent yeah, of whatever yeah, yeah. that they're... So yeah, musks are
totally
very versatile in that way. Mm-hmm. So there are Oriental musks, as you said. Also, incense falls into an Oriental as well.
I love the incense note.
Same. Yeah. Sometimes it's like really gives me panic because it reminds me of like... Not panic, but yeah, well, yes, panic, but like it reminds me of like being in church as I was because I went to an Episcopal church growing up, which was like not a bad experience, thank God, but I just don't want to be 14 again, you know what I mean? Like, that's all. But I love an incense scent most of the time. Mm-hmm. The one that All Saints did recently, Incense City, is so good.
All Saints does perfume?
Yeah, it's all newish.
Okay. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, they said it was like right when I was leaving Madison. So like it's probably a year and a half old.
Okay.
I think they have four now, and Incense City is one. It's stunning. Because sometimes, to me, incense, as much as I love it, it can be really headachy in the same way white florals can be headachy.
Yeah.
Just like really caustic. And this isn't. Incense City is like super smooth. I think it rides on vanilla in a way that softens it, but doesn't like read as like a sweet vanilla. Ugh, it's so good. Anyway, sorry.
I love how vanilla is like, I feel like vanilla is like the extraneous exclamation point in an email so you don't sound mad.
Oh my God.
That's what it does to like fragrances.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Or like the smiley face at the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
Like a text. Or like, I'm not being passive aggressive.
Or I am and I'm using this.
Sweetly passive aggressive. That's vanilla notes to me.
Me just sending like the bitchiest text possible and then throwing an emoji in it. LOL. Yes. So yeah. Vanilla also shows up in many, many Oriental scents. In many scents, just baseline. But
technically, I guess vanilla is a spice. Is it not? Do you consider vanilla it's a bean.
I consider it a spice. I don't consider it a flower.
Yeah.
I mean, more literally, it probably should be in the flower family because it grows, right?
Fair.
It's not the dumbest thing I've ever said. But
a bean.
But I'm with you. I consider it more of a spice.
Yeah.
This also is like I think vanilla... Never mind. So yes, Orientals are characterized by being spicy and or really warm.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, not always, but really sweet. And, you know, then you get into like the seductive realm and, you know, nighttime fragrances and what people consider sexy. I love Oriental scents. They're very my shit.
Absolutely. I love Oriental scents because they are, to me, like the more linear scents that dry down. They smell the same on the dry down as they do with the open.
Okay.
Or similarly.
Okay.
I feel like when it warms up on your skin, it just gets even better and better. Gucci released a bunch of new fragrances in this kind of framework called the Alchemist's Garden.
Oh, they're in like the jars, right?
Yeah.
They look like
They look like urns. These Victorian urns, yeah. And there was one called Eyes of the Tiger that's very much so an Oriental scent.
Mm.
And it is very strong, in my opinion. No, but I nabbed one from the Allure Beauty Closet when I was still
I'm gonna reach
there.
Out because I just saw them in my email.
I feel like they're like Gucci's prize fragrance. If Gucci Bloom is the preteen that no one pays attention to, like the Alchemist Garden or the overachieving like oldest child.
I feel like Alchemist Garden is a diffusion of their new foray into beauty, which no one asked for, because like Gucci scents are beautiful. And
yeah.
I like them a lot. And I'm sure these are gorgeous too. And the bottles are stunning, but we have this new pointless beauty line. And now we have these new fragrances, which I would love to smell. anyways, I'm gonna, never mind. How would you pronounce this?
Le Quatrième Parfum.
Well,
that.
Cool Life is the brand that I think shuttered. It's one word.
And the perfume is called Cool Life. Le Quatrième Parfum?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there are eight that each of them aligns with one of the chakras. I know. These were super, super luxe and really...
They look fancy.
Gorgeous bottles. And the fragrances were stunning. And I'm only speaking past tense because, I think they shuttered recently. But my favorite one is this one. It is orange. And it is just... It's a spice bomb. Not the one by Victor and Rolf. But it is all... I mean, to me, cinnamon, tobacco.
I love tobacco.
Oh my God, same. And... This one is strong. I would call this like a strong, heavy fragrance. And when I got it, it showed up in the middle of July a couple years back. And so it wasn't, I don't really believe in like seasonal fragrances, but it wasn't a July fragrance because it was like super spicy, super warm. And it was, you know, hot as hell outside. I knew how much I liked it when it came, but I had to shelf it for a couple months just so I wouldn't like smother myself. That is definitely my favorite Oriental. Oh, I'm trying to think. Tom Ford does a lot of beautiful Orientals as well.
I love Tom Ford's fragrances. Oud Wood is one of my, I guess, is that Oriental or is that more woody? I guess Oud Wood would, of course, I mean, Oud is a wood and it's called Oud Wood. So obviously that would be wood. duh. But that's one of my favorite Tom Ford scents. And Black Orchid.
Mm.
I feel like Black Orchid is heavily an Oriental scent.
Yeah.
I also feel like in 2016, everyone was obsessed with Black Orchid.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was because it was and is in Sephora.
Yes, yeah. I actually remember buying a bottle of Black Orchid for an ex-boyfriend that I lived with in 2016.
And canceled. Like,
yeah, he doused the shit out of himself with it all the time. Loved it. So now to me, I'm just like, oh, it smells like that dude. But
that's the fucking worst. Tuscan Leather also is an Oriental by... I was going to say Drake by Tom Ford.
It's Drake.
It is a Drake song.
Wait, has Drake not made perfume yet? Because I feel like he would be good at that.
Isn't that odd? I feel like there was a moment where he like absolutely could have and it would have made total sense.
I don't think he'll do it. Yeah. Drake, please. Bless us. Do it before Yeezy does it.
Oh, God. Don't.
You know he's gonna.
I know. Can you imagine? That and Tobacco Vanille also by Tom Ford.
Oof. I think I used to have one of the tobacco... One of the tobacco Tom Fords, and I gave it to someone who probably didn't deserve it. I don't know why this just popped into my head, but when I was a teenager, one of my favorite, I feel like it's pretty strongly an Oriental, is Lolita Lempicka.
Oh my God. Like, my mom wore that as growing up. I fucking love that scent. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Would you call that an Oriental?
I don't know.
But it's got a spice. I mean, it's very fruity and floral, but it has this like, it's got this spice that just gets in your nose and takes over
completely. So my mom and I have very similar like tastes and fragrance because I've never had an original idea in my life. So yeah, I get a lot of what I like just comes from her and what I grew up smelling, and that she wore for years. I love the scent of that, and the bottle's so cool.
I love the bottle.
I Google Lolita Lempicka like twice a year, and I don't know why. I just haven't bought myself a bottle.
They had a couple flankers.
Yes. Way more than I thought.
Yeah. So.
So what is a flanker?
Ooh, that's an excellent question.
So a flanker is a diffusion of a fragrance. So when a fragrance does really well, basically in anything, in beauty and otherwise, but it shows up in beauty and fragrance quite a bit. If one product does really well, the brand is going to do it over and over again as many times as they can to get you to buy more.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter if it is... Let me not throw anyone under the bus. Like a like a blush that sells like crazier than they do a whole collection around, like NARS with Orgasm. Yep. Or if...
think of like Marc Jacob and all the Daisy perfumes.
All the Daisies. Yep. Or like how Becca did Champagne Pop and then just kept doing Champagne Pop. And then
Champagne-ier
the
pop.
Whole collection of Champagne Pop. So then again, I was actually just going to say Daisy. So there's Daisy. And then there's Daisy Blush, Daisy Dream. This, that, there's tons of Daisies because they want that name recognition of, hey, that's the one fragrance I love. Yep. This is another version. Let me go get that.
All the Escada scents I believe, were probably all flankers, mm-hmm. the ones that I loved.
Britney Spears, famed perfumer, also does a ton of flankers for fantasy specifically.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Terry Mugler.
Yes.
Angel, there's a lot of flankers for that.
Yep.
Yeah. And Alien, there's a bunch of Alien flankers. To me, they all kind of smell the same-ish.
That or they don't at all. They're just their own idea. Mm-hmm. I like flankers when they do letter back to the original concept, but a lot of times they're just like, buy this because you know it, which like makes sense. I get why brands do it. I'm not saying it's right. There's no morality, you know? I don't know.
Is Terry Mugler Angel an Oriental?
I would have to say, I think all of Mugler scents are.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. That's a real, like, Angel is like such an iconic scent, but to me it just, it's so much. It's so
that's
much.
That's the one that's like pure caramel, right?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I know. It's very up your alley.
I got kicked off their PR list.
I love the alien scents, just not on me. But I love smelling them on other people.
Yeah.
I don't identify with it, but it's just such a lovely scent.
I agree. Yeah. I understand that it is pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. That is a scent that I would definitely say has a lot of sillage and it's a heavy scent. But I don't mind it. Like, it's good.
I don't mind it. I'm just like, calm down.
Wear Alien like love to party. Yeah. And that's what I love about it. You know what I mean? It's just like vibe. It's fully the...
it's an extroverted scent.
The girl who fell out of the window in Sex and the City.
I love the bottles. Like Terry Mugler, I feel like makes like the coolest looking perfume bottles.
Exquisite.
Yeah. They don't even sit properly on a shelf, on a surface. They're just like, fuck that. I'm going to lie the fuck down.
I love bottles that lie down for no reason.
Yeah. Okay, so we touched on woody fragrances.
Yeah, woody smells like wood.
Yeah, smells like a tree, you know, whatever.
can we just get floral all the way? It smells like flowers.
Do you know what a flower is?
Like, are we fine?
I guess, yeah. I mean, okay.
What are we going to say?
Well, all right, flowers. Wait, you were telling me earlier that like rose and jasmine are the two notes that are most used.
Yeah, I was reading recently and... this is obviously not true of like every fragrance, but essentially rose and jasmine most oftentimes make up the heart of every fragrance. And that seems like kind of a reach. Like rose, absolutely. And like jasmine, sure. But like if anything else, I would add to that. I would add iris. Mm. That's the only one I think of.
Violet.
Gardenia,
magnolia.
Oh my God. I've been writing a lot about daffodil this week.
Really?
Yeah. Because don't get me started on this. It stems from, it's like the narcissus flower.
Ooh, the tiara flower. I do love like white florals.
Oh, I hate white florals.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
I feel like you would be okay with
absolutely them. Not.
Okay.
Like, why would I wear a white floral when I can wear anything else? You know what I mean?
I like a little bit of white
floral. You know, I just want to smell like a gumball machine at all times. Yeah, I know.
You want to smell like a piece of cake.
That's right. I absolutely do.
A baked good.
Yes. This is true.
I do like gardenias.
I will say I like rose a lot, too. Mm. I had really had to grow into rose, but it wasn't until I realized how... rose is a shapeshifter. It can smell like a literal rose, but also it can, like, Marc Jacobs Decadence makes rose smell really boozy. Mm. And it's got a lot of depth. And oh my God, what is the one by Chanel that I really love? Coco Noir. It's a really dark take on rose. It's so beautiful. So I don't hate florals as a concept. I just hate them because I'm stubborn.
I don't hate them. I just haven't met the right one yet.
Right. God.
Anyway. I do love woody fragrances, though.
Same.
I do.
Again.
Yeah.
Men.
Men love wood.
Lose their shit over some woods.
Yeah. Like, one of my favorite woody fragrances is the Comme des Garçons. So, Comme des Garçons, Wonderwood, and I suppose it's flanker, Wonderwood, are two of my favorite wood perfumes. And Tom Ford, Oud Wood.
Byredo has two ouds that I really love. One is a cord oud, which is a pretty, I mean, it's a beautiful but literal take on ouds. It's just very, it's very woody and very lovely. Then they have Eau de Mortal, which smells like ouds, really dry, fragrant wood, really juicy blackberries and incense. Mm. It is gorgeous.
Those are good ones, yeah. Like Oud, I think Oud de Lys by Robert Piguet. Love saying that name. That's one of my favorite Oud fragrances, but that's a lot spicier. And to me, that fragrance exists in the shared Venn diagram between wood and Oriental. Mm. Oud is funny in that it is literally resin from the inside of a tree, but it has different uses. They'll chip the heartwood of the agarwood tree, and a lot of religious, like Muslim ceremonies, will like burn it as incense in their temples. So like culturally, that has a purpose, but then also like it's harvested for perfume. Not so much anymore, just because it's incredibly expensive. But I was reading that the agarwood trees, like it's like a family of a species of trees, I should say. And they mostly exist in the Middle East and Southeast Asia. And in the 60s, or rather during the Vietnam War, when the U.S. was dropping bombs on Vietnam, the shrapnel would injure a bunch of these agarwood trees, which is what you need for the tree to create the resin. So it created a ton of Oud, essentially. It's like crazy because I really hope that the people were able to harvest that and profit from it, because right. It obviously it's horrible that their villages and their forests were bombed. But it's also very interesting to me that warfare has produced this very, very profitable fragrance substance.
Right.
It's wild.
That is wild.
Anyway, that's my diatribe about Oud. Oh, we should talk about your favorite.
We should.
Gourmand.
Oh, I love a gourmand. So we were talking about this before we started, and gourmands are typically scents that lean sweeter or have a lot of sweet elements to them. Mm. Also can be very warm, also can be very spicy. If we're talking about fragrance Venn diagrams, gourmand and oriental would sit right next to each other because they do share a lot of the same aspects. But you have chocolate and toffee and amber.
It's all like edible dessert.
Yes, exactly.
Dessert smells. Exactly. Yeah. Which, vanilla.
And they don't always have to be as sweet as I am making them out to be. They can be very warm and soft and alluring, but muted.
Yes.
But you can also have like fruits in here, like fig or blackberry. A lot of things can be sweet without being cloying. And I think that's where the most fun, beautiful gourmand scents, where they show up for me is, you know, they're not just a candy store, which I also love. But yeah, like you said, they're, you know, sweeter, usually edible notes, dessert-like. And I think they can also be the most imaginative in some ways because, again, you can have notes like vanilla, but you can also have notes like cotton candy or burnt sugar or things that you can't usually extract anything from, but you recognize and it takes you somewhere. I don't know. I love a gourmand scent.
Yeah. Gourmands are like, to me, the hot girl scent because it's always in all the hot girl perfumes.
Yeah.
like when I think of all like the, you know, we were talking earlier about like how warm vanilla sugar from Bath and Body Works was like the fucking fragrance in our high schools. And there was this really, really great Racked article about why everyone wants to smell like a dessert.
Yeah.
And how, and this goes for a lot of celebrity fragrances, how they really amp up the vanilla and the cake-like or dessert-like scent because it just evokes this like warmth and comfort that people really gravitate towards. But then obviously they'll jazz it up with sexier stuff too. But I feel like they make a lot of sense geared towards young girls as gourmands because they're like, girls, they just want to smell like desserts.
Right.
I don't know why I said that like that. These girls, they wish to smell like cake.
And me.
Like a tiramisu.
No, I just... And they're, like you said, they're just comforting and familiar and exciting.
I like a little gourmand, but like I don't like predominantly gourmand scents.
Sure.
Yeah.
That Killing in Love, Don't Be Shy is very gourmand. It smells like a field of cotton candy with like burnt caramel floating in the air and just like a little cigarette smoke. It's so good. Also, I think one of my favorite gourmands of all time is Funfair Evening by Replica.
Ooh, Margiela Replica. That's a really nice one.
It smells like a humid... it's very literal. It smells like a humid summer night in August at a fun fair with cotton candy and churro grease in the air.
It's churro grease.
Yeah, I don't know. I love it. You know, you like walk by a food cart.
Absolutely.
It's
like the Nuts for Nuts cart.
Exactly.
That's a gourmand.
Oh my God. Yeah, also they can be like very nutty or it's just...
You almond.
Can, and I just love a weird like marshmallow note. Like, where did you get that? You know, not even the note itself, but the idea.
I feel like one of our favorite Diaz & Durga scents, Debaser, has this tinge of gourmand in the fig, which is really good. Also, they have a candle.
Oh my God.
Breakfast Leipzig. Yeah. But that to me, it just smells like fresh baked croissants in the morning. It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Also, I'm shocked by how underused coffee is in fragrance.
Atelier Cologne did a coffee-based one called like Tuberose Cafe or Cafe yeah. Tuberose.
Yes.
And it's like heavy on the coffee
Do
note.
You think?
To me, it is.
I think that smells identical to Elizabeth and James bourbon, which I also love.
Oh, they're like interesting.
Identical, though. Intoxicated Killian is super coffee heavy. Private Show by Britney Spears literally is made to smell like a Frappuccino, which is great. It's funny, another replica scent coffee shop came out this year and I was like down for it. And then they sent it and it's good. It's lovely. It's super warm, super soft, but I think it has like a violet note in it as well. And it smells just like a soft, warm floral. It doesn't smell like a coffee shop. And I'm not disappointed. It's just those are always so on the nose of what they're meant to replicate. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's not.
What kind of? Maybe it's like a European coffee shop.
Maybe.
I haven't been to all the coffee shops in the world. I wouldn't know.
I'm getting there.
Yeah. World tour coffee shops.
What haven't we? Fresh.
Fresh.
Fresh. Okay. Fresh is, this can also be kind of floral. It can also be kind of woody, but green
or zesty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aquatic. You know, there's always a lot of notes of, you know, citruses, also some pungent green notes, and also they can be, you know, like cool water, like aquatic or the fragrance cool water. A lot of those quote sport scents that showed up in the 2010s that every house did at least one of, they're all fresh. They're all like these zesty blue, sporty, you know, they're fine. They're gorgeous,
they're
but that sector of sport scents can just like miss me altogether. You know,
it is interesting how fresh can be, like it can be grass or it can be bergamot or it can be, I don't know, like jasmine or water, like the quote unquote amorphous like water scent.
Yeah, I love a water scent.
Fresh is so much more conceptual than it is a literal thing.
Yep.
Because obviously like lemon, bergamot, grapefruit, they're clearly fruits. Yet, you wouldn't really make a bergamot scent necessarily and be like, this is a fruity fragrance. Because like bergamot is so much more crisper than, I suppose, the collective of fruits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People market scents to men as concepts where they market scents to women as like actual scents. So where women are going to smell like lavender or jasmine or vanilla or whatever it is, men smell like mountains and like cool breeze and Fiji.
God forbid you eat a fruit.
No, yeah, you have to paint a picture for these dumbasses. Where as like women, you can actually speak to like human beings and not cave people. So that's what I think a lot of, you know, you think of a sports scent and you think of a crashing tidal wave and rollerblading and
that is true because I feel like apple as a note could be fresh or it could be fruity.
Totally.
Depending on how you go with it. Like DKNY had the, what was that? Like apple bottle looking one. What was it called? Apple. Green apple.
Big apple.
Big apple.
Juicy.
Just apple.
Juicy.
Be juicy.
No. Be delicious.
Be delicious. Was that the original? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Be Delicious by DKNY, the bottle looks like an apple. That to me is a super juicy, fruity scent. And they made a red one as well.
They made a couple.
Yeah, see, that one had a couple of flankers, probably because it was so successful.
That was huge. I love that.
But, like, apple is a note that...
Oh, this is going to remind me of high school.
Apple is something that you can really douse and call it a fruity scent marketed towards women, or you can call it fresh and crisp and marketed towards men, even though it's still a fucking apple.
I mean, fragrance is all marketing anyway, you know? Also, I feel like all these sporty scents have a metallic note, like literal metal.
Yeah, metal. How do you...
I was just going to say, I don't know. But like, you know it when you smell it.
Yeah. Right? Like, I would say it's an aldehyde, but then when I looked up what aldehydes were, like, it didn't really read to me as that. Like, aldehydes are synthetic, for sure, and they have, like, a soapy, waxy kind of floral scent. And it's amorphous on its own, but it's kind of meant to be a booster for, like, all the other notes around it. It's a compound of a bunch of synthetic molecules.
So, like, an accord?
I think it's a compound because like that by chemical structure. It could also be an accord by definition because it's a bunch of notes, but like you're just like cartoon blinked at me.
I'm trying.
But like it's in general, lashes. It has this kind of sweet, almost like a bland sweetness that's meant to just tweak the overall fragrance.
Okay.
So apparently the story is that like aldehydes became really popular after Coco Chanel's perfumer accidentally put too much aldehydes into what would become Chanel No. 5. every time I smell Chanel No. 5, I'm like, whoa, that's like crazy sweet to me. And that was just
it's so floral to me.
Well, yeah, like aldehydes smell like florals.
Yeah.
But because it's synthetic, they can't call it a flower. They're like, we made it in a lab, but it's sweet.
Oh.
It's sweet like a flower, but it's not a flower. But it makes other floral notes smell even more intense.
Okay, you're getting me there. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like an intensifier. Think of it that way.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's an aldehyde. But when you read about it in the makeup of a fragrance, you're like, what the fuck?
Right. Right.
I don't know if that incorporates metallic notes, though.
You want to jump?
Okay. Fougère. It looks like fougère or fougère, but it's apparently fougère. And it's the French term for fern. It kind of has that evergreen scent. It's like lavender, geranium, vetiver, oak moss. Mm-hmm. It's ferny. Think of Fern Gully. That's a fougère.
Like a wet green sort of scent.
A wet forest.
Yeah.
And then Chypre.
Chypres are also really earthy. I would say like mossy almost. They can incorporate a lot of wood. Also a little bit of like bergamot.
Chypres confuse me. I feel like they're underrepresented.
I feel like they're overrepresented.
Or rather I should say underrated.
Mm. I got my hands on the newest, at the time, Diptyque scent, which was like a new spin on a Chypre, and it was fine. It was beautiful. It was like really earthy, really green, but really, oh my God, what is the word I'm looking for? Not pungent, but damp and foggy and musky without being literally musky. I don't know. It smells like a bank of a river. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And
I'm getting you.
And they're often really easy to layer florals on top of because florals go with earth really nicely. They're not my favorite. They're like brown and green. They're fine.
Brown and green fragrances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always very confused about what Chypres were about because they're described as woody and then they're also described as like green.
Mm-hmm. One Chypre that many people are going to know is CK1.
That's a Chypre?
That is a modern, lighter take on a Chypre. It's a little more fresh. I think personally it would fall into the fresh category.
Same.
But allegedly it is a Chypre, but that is probably one of the most widely known contemporary Chypres.
And you didn't even know.
You didn't.
Well,
even.
I didn't.
That's everything you need to know about fragrance.
The end.
The end.
Do we know about the concentrations?
I always have to clock myself on it and figure that out.
So when you're buying fragrance, you'll see that they're priced differently, often because it's a difference of the concentration of perfume in it.
Yeah, so fragrances are made up of oils that you get the scent from, and then those oils are put into essentially alcohol, which thins them out because you don't want to put a natural, like a 100% oil on your skin. It would freak your skin out.
Yep.
And it would also smell insane. Natural 100% oil of whatever it's from is not going to smell the same way as it would on your skin raw. As it would in a perfume, because it needs to breathe. It
needs space, man.
Yeah, it needs that alcohol and whatever else, that filler to thin it out. And
that perfume water.
Exactly. So all fragrances have different levels of this raw material.
Let's start from the top. So the most concentrated, there's parfum. No E, it's that important. So that's 15 to 40%.
That's like the range, but they usually fall between 20 and 30%.
Okay, that's quite a bit.
That's a ton, honestly.
Yeah, so that's fragrance in like its purest form.
Yeah.
And that's usually on the expensive side. But it also means that it lasts longer on your skin.
You don't really ever need to wear a parfum. That's some rich girl shit.
That is some rich girl shit.
You know?
Like, we're not that fancy.
No.
We don't need parfum.
No.
But then there's Eau de Parfum, which is 15 to 20%. And that's also like one of the most common perfume types.
Yeah, that's typically what you're going to buy when you just reach for any fragrance on the counter. It's going to be an eau de parfum.
Typically, you'll also see an eau de toilette, which is 5 to 15% perfume. And that's like the slightly waterier version of eau de parfum. It doesn't last as quite as long.
It's just lighter.
It's lighter. It's diet perfume.
Right. I don't think toilettes on me... I think my skin holds scent really well in ways that some people's don't. My friend Connor things just like burn off him immediately, whereas they last really long on me. So I don't know if I'm the best person to speak to the hang time of a toilette. Do you find that you're seeing less toilettes?
I am seeing less toilettes. I feel like people aren't bothering with them as much because everyone's onto them. They're like, this is toilet water.
Yeah. And I just feel like people want something that's gonna last.
I feel like the price difference for what you're getting, people are willing to spend a couple bucks more if they know they're getting more of the scent.
Agreed. And also I think people, when they are shopping, would rather see two individual scents than one Eau de Parfum and one Eau de Toilette. You know, that's essentially, to me, that's the same fragrance.
Totally.
You know.
Then there's Eau Fraiche, which is not as common. That's even lighter than an Eau de Toilette. Eau Fraiches, I feel like, are very niche.
Yeah.
They're not like, I don't know. I feel like that's what you would find in a perfume that's been around for ages, and then they're just like, fine, we'll give you a lighter version.
There's a lot of shit I want to edit out of this episode. I'm just
same.
You know, what the fuck?
It's running real long. So.
I was like not landing the plane there at the beginning. So sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Leaving this in, though.
We did it. We did. This was our this was the Smellulator rundown.
This was a rundown. This was a little lengthy, but I hope that I certainly learned some things that I didn't know going into this, and I hope you did too.
Same. I hope everyone learns things today.
Trying to demystify fragrance and make it as approachable as possible. So
let's see what you did there. Demystify.
Oh yes, that was intentional. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening once more.
We would love to personally figure out how to leave a podcast 5 stars, and then we would love for you to do it.
Yes.
And if you know how to leave a podcast 5 stars, please DM me and tell me how. And then do it for us. Follow us on Instagram. We are at smellulator.mp3 on Instagram. Follow me. I'm at Tynanbuck everywhere.
And I am at Sabletooth Tigra everywhere. And that's it.
That's the episode. Smell you later.
Smell you later.
1 instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.